Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
And in this episode, we are venturing into the How Stuff Works ossuary. Because like any great educational institute, we're, of course, situated over an underground catacomb. Stuffed full of human remnants. We have this wonderful bone chandelier hanging over us. It's a delightful place, and so we'd hope that you'll join us for this episode as we explore some of the specimens we have around here.
Indeed, and in case your company doesn't have an ossuary, this is also known as the Bone House, the facility for the storage of human bones, of course.
Now, ossuaries, you'll find these throughout human history, sometimes not with such an elegant title. Again, going back to just a bone house or even a bone pit. You look back to ancient Persia, for instance, the Zoroastrians used a version of an ossuary. They would take corpses, put them on top of their towers of silence, and allow birds and the elements to break the bodies down to the bones, and then the bones would be stored away in for safekeeping. And actually, we see some truly ancient bone pits out there that provide us with some of the earliest evidence, even DNA evidence, of early humans and pre-human hominids. For instance, back in 2013, a German team from the Max Planck Institute was able to identify 28 different remains from Spain's Cima de las Hoces, or the bone pit, which contained 400,000-year-old Homo heidelbergensis hominids. So we've been dumping our skeletons into various tombs and caves and oubliettes for quite a while. It's a grand tradition, and one that I hope continues.
And is pragmatic. And we're going to actually look at one of probably the most stellar examples of an ossuary, which is the catacombs of Paris.
You've been lucky enough to witness this place firsthand.
Yes, I have been to the Empire of Death, and it truly is one of the creepiest places I have ever been. It's 65 feet underground. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you go through these small little halls until you get to this marker that talks about, hey, you're about to enter the Empire of Death. And lo and behold, you see all of these bones, this pathway of bones stacked in such a configuration and such an elaborate one that it's just, it's like the Vatican of bones. It's too much. It's almost, it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
And you imagine the person responsible for arranging all those bones and wonder if he went absolutely mad with the task.
Now, were you there on an official tour, or was this like a secret underground Parisian rave you were attending?
Yeah, I can't really tell you the details of how I got there. It's just that I got there.
Okay.
Now, of course, they aren't just there willy-nilly for people to ply off the sewer covers and jump down and have a party in. Mm-hmm. The catacombs have a very long history that actually started with the Romans.
Yeah, I mean, of course, you can go back even further in history. You can go back like 45 million years to where you had just a sea,
sure,
a tropical sea, instead of Paris, France. And eventually the seabed sediment turns into limestone. And this is key, of course, because most naturally occurring caves form from limestone via dissolution. And limestone is soft yet firm. So it's a great stone to use in construction as well, which is what the Romans were doing, right?
Yeah, they were like, ooh, look at all this delicious limestone. Let's carve it out and make things out of it.
Yeah, they eventually created the Roman city of Lutetia, the city that would eventually become Paris.
Mm-hmm.
And in the process, they dug up these quarry pits that resulted in roughly 187 miles of underground tunnels. And these quarries ended up providing the stone for even such modern post-Roman constructions as Notre Dame.
Well, and they remained that way for quite a bit until the 18th century, when they were long abandoned, and someone scratched their head and said, this could really solve our public health problem, namely, like, all these bodies that we have piling up from various diseases.
That's right. I mean, you had such large central cemeteries as Saints Innocents, or what's the French on that?
Well, this is not Holly Fry certified, but I'm going to take a stab. Saints Innocents.
Okay. Okay. See, I took German, so I'm useless on this one.
Teutonic.
But Saints Innocents, one of the main cemeteries, the largest cemetery in Paris, and you had a situation where you had the bodies were just improperly buried or weren't buried yet. It was just, their things were just stacking up. We've been burying people in the cemetery for quite a while, and so what are you going to do? Well, you dig those bodies up.
Mm-hmm.
You take the bones and you deposit them somewhere.
Yeah, it took 2 years to do that, by the way. And then, between 1787 and 1814, bones from other cemeteries were also transferred, and the final transfer of bones took place in 1859. Now, there is a ton of history in those bones. I mean, you have the bones of Robespierre from the French Revolution.
Ah.
I mean, it's a piling up of historical events and historical diseases.
Yeah, all just cataloged there in the catacombs. And to the tune of what, like 7 million dead Parisians down there?
Yeah, 7 million dead Parisians, and perhaps some people of other nationalities.
Yeah.
Stirring about there. But that is why when you go into this, it's just like staggering to see that amount of bones configured in that way. Again, we are talking about 187 miles. Of these tunnels and various other little areas. There's a place where I think they called it like the footbath for the quarrymen.
Mm-hmm.
That's just this big open pool. That's sort of fascinating too, to be, you know, in this configuration and then just happen upon this pool.
Yeah.
So it really is sort of this empire of death underground, which is fitting.
Yeah, I mean, it really gets down to some of the, you know, the fascinations we just have with the skeleton. Like, what are we to make of the skeleton? This part of ourselves that remains after all the flesh has gone away and sometimes lingers for quite some time. That is, it's us, but it's also just a part of us. You know, what are we to make of the skeleton?
Well, and keep in mind too that until humans really started messing about with skeletons, I mean, the natural thing to happen would be deterioration for it just to become part of a leaf litter, which in large part it still does, right?
Yeah.
if you have sort of your traditional burial. But yeah, I mean, it was, for me, it's the sort of grappling with what life and death is in this attempt to take these bones, arrange them, give meaning, preserve them, hope that there's an afterlife for them.
Yeah. Yeah, because I mean, a lot of that is what Western funeral practices come down to is this idea that there's going to be an actual physical resurrection of the dead. And we got into that a bit in a couple of our episodes, the problem of immortality and then also the problem of hell, both of which deal with our ideas about what happens to some permanent, supposedly permanent part of ourselves when we pass on.
Yeah, and we were actually just talking about this before we started recording this episode about that song Dem Bones, which sort of like we think of a Trolden song.
Bones connected to the
pelvic bone, yeah. I don't know. That's actually an African spiritual that is talking about, if I've got this right, resurrection.
Huh.
That all these different parts are fitting back together so that this person can, you know, have a resurrection.
It's pretty fascinating when you compare that to, say, the practice of sky burial in Tibet and also in parts of Mongolia, mm-hmm. and elsewhere, where the idea is to just break everything down and just have it be reabsorbed by nature to the point where you're actually someone is pulverizing the bones.
Now, there is an idea in terms of green burials,
yes,
that ossuaries could make a comeback. In other words, this practice of moving bones could continue because as they decompose, you could then add it to an ossuary and then could sort of clear up that land and reuse it for another burial.
I really like the idea. I, the more I read about green burial, the more I'm on board with it. Though I guess ultimately anyone's death is, you know, it's in large part in the hands of what, you know, the people that come after you. But I think there's something far more beautiful about your body being broken down, becoming part of nature instead of being sealed away in this artificial box,
right,
pumped with all these artificial chemicals, you know, for what? For what purpose?
Well, and again, I think it's us trying to grapple with the questions of life and death,
yeah,
and put some sort of form to it and organize it and make ourselves feel better about it. But the ossuary route is really a lot more practical, or any sort of green burial.
Yeah.
You know, because again, we've got the population explosion currently and mm-hmm. coming online in the next 50 years. We don't have any more territory to explore to really sort of grow our food or bury our dead. So
yeah, I mean, our cemeteries are nice, but maybe we should stop making new ones. You know, that's land that can be used for other purposes. So yeah, for my part, I say, let the flesh fall off my body, let the lammergeiers have my bones, let them drop them from on high onto some stones and then eat the marrow.
Wow. So if you did have some sort of traditional burial, that would be on your tombstone.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know where the tombstone's going to go, though. I guess.
I know.
My descendant's living room or something. Or you find some stone and you deface it somewhere and say, hey, I existed, my body rotted, and then some birds messed with my bones.
Or it's your virtual tombstone.
There you go.
All right. The virtual Robert Lamb that exists online.
All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to handle some skulls.
Does that mean that we're going down to the basement?
Yes.
Ah.
Yes.
To the artifacts.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Let's look at some skulls. You know, you look at the human skull, and a lot of things go through your head. We've already discussed some of this. You know, it appears to be smiling at you or laughing at you. With its big grin and its gaping sockets. But, you know, the more we look at it, the more we look at the skull, and the more we look at the human hand, and incidentally, the hands and feet contain over half the body's bones, because mm-hmm. these are delicate instruments, that have evolved for, the fine manipulation of items and tools. Mm-hmm. The more we look at them, though, we can tell that the hand, particularly the fist, was made for punching the skull. And the skull evolved to receive the fist. The skull and the fist are mm-hmm. made for each other. They're lovers across time. And when you look at the science of it, it's really fascinating.
I don't know that I would say they're lovers across time, but I would say they have certainly connected across time. That's right. University of Utah biologist David Carrier and Michael H. Morgan, a University of Utah physician, contend that these human faces of ours, especially those of our Australopith ancestors, evolved to minimize injury from punches to the face during fights between males. Mm-hmm. And their paper is titled Protective Buttressing of the Hominin Face.
Yeah, they said if we look back 4 or 5 million years at these ancestors, we find an increased robustness in the particular facial bones that are most likely to suffer fracture during a pummeling. Mm-hmm. And these are the areas where we also find the greatest differences between male and female facial structures, both in Australopiths and in humans. Because again, the structures may have evolved in response to that male-on-male violence.
Now, initially, the idea was something like those really strong jaws were needed to, you know, break down nuts or, you know, really hard foods. But more and more of this evidence in these resulting studies suggests that, no, it's not just to break down nuts, and there is a difference in gender.
Yes. Now, previously, back at this study about the skulls came out in 2014, but Carrier back in 2012 had looked at the bones of the hand. And this is a study where he revealed that proportions of the human hand allow us to make a fist that protects all of those delicate bones and muscles and ligaments during a jaw-shattering right hook. Because again, it's kind of crazy when you think about it. Like these hands, right? These fine manipulative limbs that we use to make tools, to make fire, to prepare food, to put food in our mouth, that we're going to then take those fine instruments and punch people in the face with it. I mean, that's like a violinist is going to take his or her Stradivarius and then swing it at an enemy during a battle. It doesn't make sense, right? Well, the argument here from Carrier's research is that we evolved to deal with that. No other primates or any animal, for that matter, can actually throw a punch. You don't see punches thrown with chimps, with gorillas, none of them. It's a human thing. And Carrier argues that our earliest ancestors may have benefited from an evolutionary advantage if they could actually punch hard without injuring those five fingers. Then they're going to win mates, they're going to win resources, they're going to win tribal honor. Furthermore, Carrier also found that a punch is always going to be better than a slap or a chop. Now, I don't know
about the chop. That can be really effective.
Well, a chop can be effective. And when I shared this study a few years back when it first came out, on social media and on our blogs, I did have some conversations with people that were arguing against that. People who are, you know, had a little more expertise in martial arts, saying, "Well, actually, a chop, you know, can be extremely effective, or a palm thrust, etc." But Carrier's research found that peak strike force is always the same, no matter what manner of hand blow you're using. But the fist delivers all of this force to a smaller area. So according to him, the force per area is up to 3 times greater with a punch to the face versus a slap to the face.
Now, Carrier says, quote, "If indeed the evolution of our hand proportions were associated with selection for fighting behavior, you might expect the primary target, the face, to have undergone evolution to better protect it from injury when punched." In other words, coevolution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, an arms race, essentially. Almost literally an arms race.
Right. You're going to swing that big meat club at me? Okay, fine. My jaw's going to get much bigger to absorb that so it doesn't break as easily. Now, all this being said, Michael H. Morgan, one of the study's co-authors, says, quote, "Our research is about peace. We seek to explore, understand, and confront humankind's violent and aggressive tendencies. Peace begins with ourselves and is ultimately achieved through disciplined self-analysis and an understanding of where we've come from as a species. Through our research, we look at ourselves in the mirror and begin the difficult work of changing ourselves for the better." I think Michael Jackson said the same thing.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, really, when it comes to changing ourselves for the better, we'll get into an example of this later on, but humans have always been into finding ways to hack their bodies and indeed hack their skeletons in ways that match up with their own expectations of the human form. Well, you know, this whole study too makes me think of just the complexity of evolution. Like imagine if it were a boardroom or a committee trying to determine what shape the fist or the skull would take. Because on one hand, you would have individuals saying, "All right, look, it needs to be a delicate system of fingers so that we can do some fine manipulation of crafting projects, of the various interactions with the natural environment. But also it needs to be able to punch somebody in the face." And likewise, the face department are saying, "Well, this is essentially a communications array. We have our sense organs front loaded at the top. We want, all the faces to kind of look the same. So that any small difference can have an emotional response on the viewer, but also it needs to be able to take a punch just head on without too much damage occurring."
Yeah, and especially when it comes to the hands, I really feel like that potential for peace or thoughtful ways in which to enter a situation and war are contained within, because you do have that intricate system, that thumb, the placement of that is gives us that sort of advantage with tools and that grasp that no other species has. And at the same time, it also gives it the strength to just wallop a big old punch. But I feel like the tool using thing should win out here.
Yeah.
That thoughtfulness of like, okay, how do we proceed? We can use tools. We can use our minds.
And use communication, getting into the universality of sign language. We can just use these hands to actually communicate, or we can shot people in the face and punch them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Choice is yours.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, more bones.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential and then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 a month, every month. Taxes and fees included. Having a one-line plan means you only need you to save. No estranged roommates, exes, cousins twice removed, or AI-powered humanoid robots needed. And because $25 a month really means $25 a month, you can call, text, stream, whatever, as much as you want without worrying about getting dinged at the end of the month.
No hidden fees, no surprises. No, really. It's like the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. So spread the word. Tell all your friends there's a wireless company out there with transparency in their name, and they're called Visible. Start saving on wireless today at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. All right, we're back. Let's discuss another ossuary of sorts, one that is tied in with a central figure in the history of the United States of America.
Ben Franklin, of course.
Oh, yes.
And he's come up before. We've talked about his air baths.
Yes.
In which he would just, you know, hang out naked during the middle of the night and read when he couldn't sleep. Well, he is associated with this ossuary. Did he know about it? We're not quite sure, but let's sort of unravel this for you. We're talking about number 36 Craven Street in London, which was...
Craven Street.
Craven Street, mm-hmm. which was once home to Benjamin Franklin, who resided there between 1757 and 1775 when he was the ambassador for the American colonies. Now, that's all very fine and well, but in 1998, the house received extensive renovations. And during that, excavations and renovations were halted because in the basement, a thigh bone was found.
Yes.
The police were called. They began to dig out more from this pit in the basement, and they found some 1,200 pieces of bones. And initial examinations revealed that the bones were the remains of 10 bodies, six of them children, and they were about 200 years old, which all of a sudden cast a new light on Ben Franklin.
Yeah, and it's it was probably kind of a pretty interesting, if maybe even a little scary, there for a few minutes with the friends of Benjamin Franklin House who were orchestrating this whole attempt to get this house in shape. Because, mm-hmm. As far as places, Benjamin Franklin had lived, like this one was a good one to renovate and turn into a museum devoted to the man. And here you go digging around underneath it and you find this windowless room with a pit full of bones. And what are you to make of it? Now, granted, we're talking about London here. And so, mm-hmm. and London is an old city. And if you dig down deep enough in a place like London, you're going to find just about anything, right?
You're going to find bones.
Yeah.
Mental Flaws, in their article about it, asked the question, well, was Franklin a serial killer?
Yeah. It was.
No.
No. But yeah. It still leaves room for other questions like, was he a necromancer? Was he a ghoul? Was he a bone fetishist? I don't know.
The more likely explanation, and we'll never know, is that he had a friend who definitely owned a saw and a drill, probably even, and he happened to be an anatomist. And sure enough, when people looked at further analysis of those bones, they saw marks, scalpel scraping, and drill holes.
Yes.
And so the story that begins to emerge is that these bodies were taken apart in a very thoughtful manner, and probably by an anatomist.
Yes, the anatomist in question, William Hewson, who had previously been a student of anatomist William Hunter, but the two had a falling out. Hewson broke away, but he continued his studies. Now, this was an interesting time to be an anatomist, because to study human anatomy, you need examples of human anatomy to study. I mean, even today, despite all of our resources, our illustrations, our models, the use of computers, to really explore the human body,
mm-hmm.
you need cadavers. You need medical specimens to cut into, to look at, to study. And at the time, these were not easily obtainable, at least in an ethical sense.
I mean, you can
always get human bodies, but you got to be willing to put in the work or pay for that work.
Yeah, well, cadavers for medical students, which the demand for dovetailed with the increase in medical students, by the way, created a black market for dead bodies. And these bodies were obtained by people called the Resurrection Men.
Yes.
And this is just a really unsavory piece of history. And the reason why people had to go to the black market is because the Anatomy Act of 1832 wasn't in place yet, and the Anatomy Act kind of loosened up the laws a bit in terms of getting cadavers. So people had to go to grave robbers, essentially. And this really marked the whole medical profession, because people began to get, of course, a little bit paranoid and not, you know, like if you introduced yourself as a doctor at a cocktail party back then, you might say, whoa, I know I have an uncle who's terminal and right on the edge. Please don't go hunting after him.
Yeah. I mean, the idea here was that if you die and you're buried, there was a chance that a doctor, an anatomist, would dig you up and essentially desecrate your body. And if you were extremely religious and literal about everything, you could say, well, they're going to undo everything that my burial set out to accomplish.
Which loops back to Hewson, because here's this guy who's just trying to further his education.
Mm-hmm.
He's got his friend Franklin, who may or may not be in town. And Franklin has, you know, this great little setup in this house. And by the way, Houston's mother-in-law is the landlord of this.
Ah.
So, oh, in the location of,
oh, yes.
of this Craven Street house has at one end the gallows and on the other end the cemetery. So all you have to do is take a right or left outside of the house to go ahead and get that body and get it there quickly, which would have been really helpful for Houston to practice his anatomy on.
Yeah. Now, of course, you get into the question, how much did Benjamin Franklin know? On one hand, it's possible that he didn't know anything. It's possible, you know, that in fact, the friends of Benjamin Franklin House reportedly have some evidence that Franklin let Houston have just the whole house while he was living up the street with a landlady during that time. So that's one possibility, is that he had no idea. He was essentially you know, home alone. And so he brought in the cadavers for study.
Or he was like, the smell is so terrible, I'm going up the street.
Yeah, going up the street.
Yeah.
Or, you know, maybe to some extent he was aware of it. I mean, Franklin, you know, seems to have been a free thinker in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he was like, all right, you know, do what you got to do, as long as, you know, I'm not going to have anything to do with it, but, you know, just look the other way and let you continue what you're doing.
Yeah, I'll be upstairs taking an air bath.
Yeah. Or maybe he was in all the way. Maybe he said, hey, you want some corpses? Let's go get it. Let's go get them. I can't sleep. I just woke up. I was just going to read naked in the setting room. But, if you're up for, you know, hitting the cemetery, then let's go do it. I'm up for a party.
An alternate history of Ben Franklin. Why not? I mean, we have a, alternate, fictional account of Lincoln, right?
Yeah.
As the vampire slayer.
Yeah. If we can have something that ridiculous with virtually nothing historical to back it up. I mean, here is a piece of history, a little nugget from history that's just begging for exploitation.
It really is.
And we have properties that have exploited the grave robbing at the time, you know, Burke and Hare and all that. I think there have been several movies about those resurrectionists. But here you have an American icon, Ben Franklin, and he is living on top of a pile of bones, and there are pilfered bodies being brought into his house. You know, you don't even have to add much to that. Just on its own, that would be a great little comedy. But
it's half written already.
Yeah, throw in some ghosts, throw in some necromancy, a ghoul, what have you, and you're good to go.
Now, if you're interested in some historical fiction about this, there is a great book called The Dress Lodger by Sherry Holman, and it's about a prostitute and a disgraced doctor. And she's called it's called the Dress Lodger because at that time, prostitutes would sometimes rent really upscale looking dresses. So they didn't look like sort of these third tier prostitutes that might be diseased and they get more business, which is in and of itself really interesting.
Yeah. I mean, you dress for success, right?
Indeed. Yeah. Embodied cognition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We've been down here in the ossuary for quite a while. We probably need to break and pick this up in a second episode.
Yeah, I'm getting a little, I don't know, claustrophobic.
Yeah, I would say lonely, but there are a lot of bones down here. And after a while, they kind of feel like those skulls are watching you.
And talking to you.
Hey, in the meantime, be sure to check out stufftoblowyourmind.com. That's where you'll find all of our podcast episodes, our blog posts, our videos, as well as links out to our social media accounts.
And if you have a thought, please do share it with us. You can send us an email at blowthemind@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at CedarPoint.com.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.